types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grand View Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grand View Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grand View Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
My name is Rick Dempsey. I played 27 years in professional baseball, 24 years as a major league player. You know, you always worry about, I'm spending too much on the kids or something like that. But Tunnel to Towers takes care of everybody. It's a fantastic charity, but it's actually more than that. You know, it changes people's lives and gives them an opportunity to move on and to grow up without a lot of devastation in their life. The foundation is committed to delivering mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST. Never forget.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, home base, the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex in Las Vegas Boulevard, here in your gaming capital, and of course at the YouTube South Point Streaming Network. We welcome you to the show as we begin another exciting week of covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style. And of course, we want to welcome all of our listeners who happen to be listening here in town, running around town this early Wednesday morning. And I'm getting some feedback here. We'll want to welcome everybody that's on KSHP Radio, our anchor radio station, KSHP Sports Talk, 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. And, of course, all the websites that we have, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, iPhone, Android, and Google phone. We got you covered with the apps, the KSHP app that you can hear us on the radio station, the YouTube app that you can see and hear us as well. And we welcome you to the show. And everybody else who gets us podcasting or with your gold tooth filling or whatever, however you get us, welcome to the show for this Race Day show as we begin another week of covering racing. Now listen, this week, the most important thing for racing really is going to be the weather. Now, right now, the weather, certainly is going to be a factor as we get towards the end of the week and when we get into the Saturday, where the three big major Kentucky Derby final prep races with 100 points up for grabs in the leaderboard for the Kentucky Derby are on stake here. Now, we got the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. We have the Bluegrass at Keeneland. Keeneland opens on Friday. And we have the Santa Anita Derby in Southern California. Now, as far as the weather is concerned, right now, there's a lot going on in the Midwest and the Upper Plains states and around the Great Lakes area, the lakes area there by Ohio, etc. But there's going to be a front that's going to be moving along, and it's going to get more drastic and more more intense as we make it through the next couple of days. Now, Keeneland Racecourse has already put out on their website a notice to everybody that they are planning on opening on Friday, but they are keeping an eye on the weather, and they may very well already cancel Friday's card if the weather gets real bad by the evening tomorrow night. That would put into jeopardy, of course, Saturday's Bluegrass card. Same deal goes for New York, where the Wood's going to be at. Southern California and Santa Anita looks to be pretty clear. So we are all dependent on this storm that's going to make its way through the Midwest and onto the East Coast by the weekend. We will wait and see about that. Now, scheduled, if everything works out right, will be the opening of Keeneland Racecourse will be opening on Friday. And, of course, on Saturday at Keeneland, there'll be five stakes races, two grade ones, two grade twos, and one grade three amongst those five. And, of course, the main event will be the Bluegrass Stakes, 100 points up for grabs for the Kentucky Derby. At Aqueduct, Aqueduct Racecourse will have five stakes races on Saturday, two grade twos and two grade threes. And, of course, one of the grade twos will be the Wood Memorial that has 100 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. And on Saturday, there'll be five stakes races at Santa Anita, one grade one, one grade two, and one grade three amongst those five that include the Santa Anita Derby. Now, the Santa Anita Derby only drew five horses. And with the way the rules are with the leaderboard points, if you have less than six horses, they start knocking down the total points for up for grabs for the leaderboards. Okay, for both the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. So the Santa Anita Derby, because it only has five horses entered in it, will just have 75 and not the original 100 points, but just 75 leaderboard points for the Kentucky Derby. The Bluegrass has seven entered in that, so they'll get the complete 100. And the Wood Memorial has 12, a full field of 12, so they'll get the 100 points for that as well. Now, also for the Kentucky Oaks, which is, of course, the day before the Derby on the first Friday of May, there are leaderboard points, 100 leaderboard points for three races that have 100 leaderboard points for the Kentucky Oaks this weekend. They include the Gazelle at Aqueduct that has eight entered in that, the Ashland Stakes that will be run on Friday if they go on Friday at Keeneland. The Ashland will not be run on Saturday. It's one of the three stakes races that are on tap for opening day Friday at Keeneland. If they go on Friday in the Ashland, that has 100 points for the Kentucky Oaks. There are eight entered in that race. And the Santa Anita Oaks that will be run on Saturday at Santa Anita as the undercard to, of course, the Santa Anita Derby, etc. The Santa Anita Oaks has six in it, but because there are six in the race in the Santa Anita Oaks, they'll get the full 100 points for the leaderboard in the Kentucky Oaks. So that's what's at stake this weekend. We have three big major final stakes races for both the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby for the leaderboard and going into the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks. There's only one more race left after Saturday, and that'll be the Lexington Stakes. That'll hold just 20 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. That's for the horses that are on the cusp there. Now, as far as the Kentucky Derby leaderboard is concerned, after this weekend, Sandman, he's on top. He's got 129 points. He's in. Tiztastic, 119 points. He's in. Tappan Street, a winner over the weekend. He's got 110 points. He's in. Sovereignty, who finished second in the Florida Derby, has also 110 points, so he's in. Final Gambit has 100. Cole Battle has 95. Chunk of Gold has 75. Owen Almighty has 65. And in the ninth and tenth positions, tied Citizen Bull at 60 and Publisher at 60. Now, Publisher ran in the Arkansas Derby over the weekend, so he's sitting there at 60. Doesn't look like he'll have any more races. But with 60, he's almost assured of getting in the Kentucky Derby. Citizen Bull, of course, goes as one of the five horses in the Santa Anita Derby this weekend. That will hold 75 points. Cole Battle is done. He ran in the Arkansas Derby. Final Gambit is done. Sovereignty, who finished third in the Florida Derby, should be done, as well as Tappan Street, the winner of that race. Tiz Tastic and Sandman are also done, but they are guaranteed. Now, all of the horses that I just mentioned in the top 10 will, if everything stays in place as far as physically with them, they'll be able to get into the Kentucky Derby. There's not going to be a problem there. And amongst the top 10, Steve Asmussen has two horses in it, Tiz Tastic and Publisher. Brad Cox has two horses in it, Tappan Street and Final Gambit. And Bob Baffert right now just has Citizen Bull as one of the top 10 for the Kentucky Derby. But don't forget, Baffert's got some horses running in the Santa Anita Derby this weekend. So that's the leaderboard for Kentucky Derby leaderboard right now with 100 points yet to go. Now, as far as the Santa Anita Derby is concerned, only five horses in that race. They'll break like this. Number one is Journalism with Umberto Rispoli. Number two is Citizen Bull with Martin Garcia. Number three is Westwood. Tiago Piera rides there on that maiden. Number four is Barnes with Juan Hernandez. And the five is Baeza with Hector Barrios. And that is the five-horse field in the Santa Anita Derby. Now, there is a Kentucky Derby Parimutuel Future Book Pool, the final pool, Pool 6. Of the Kentucky Derby Future Book Parimutuel Pool. That thing will open up at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Thursday. It will run through 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Saturday. And that Saturday cutoff point for the Future Book, the final Future Book Pool, will be cut off before they run the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass, and the Santa Anita Derby. So you'll have to have some advance predictions about that if you're looking for future book bets there. And as far as individuals in the Kentucky Derby future book, remember, there are 40 positions in that, 39 individual horses, and the 40th one is all other three-year-olds. Now, the morning line, the opening line on this, the horse that's the favorite as far as the individual horses is Journalism. Journalism is sitting there at 4-1 on the opening line. Sandman is 8-1. Everybody else is in double digits as far as the individual horses. And, of course, all others will open up at 20-1. Now, that's the Parimutuel, Kentucky Derby Parimutuel Future Book there. And so that's the way it sets up this weekend as far as those big stakes races are concerned. I want to remind everybody right now, today, especially the ones that are listening on Wednesday, we will have no Wednesday race day show next Wednesday, April the 9th. No show on April the 9th. We're doing some big remodeling and stuff that's going on here in studio. So we will be off the air. No show on Wednesday the 9th. We'll be back on the 10th at our regular times, etc. I want to do that as well. And any of the other updates as far as the races are concerned, it's going to all be based on the weather. This weekend's weather is going to be a big factor in what's going on with the races around the country and certainly the Kentucky Derby prep races as well. So I just wanted to keep you posted on that. The Bluegrass Stakes, it's interesting about that. And, of course, we'll get Jonathan Ardoon with us a little bit later on. But the Bluegrass Stakes is getting some musical chairs with the jockeys as these jockeys, no pun intended, jockey for position, to get a nice horse for the Kentucky Derby. The Wood Memorial is a full field there, so there's a lot of horses hoping to get the 100 points at the Wood Memorial. That's the biggest, fullest field out of all of the prep races with any of the future book points this weekend. And as far as anything else is concerned, one late news item that I wanted to give you, and that is what's going on, the vote in Florida. As you know, they voted yesterday in Florida was an election day there in Florida. The Florida Senate Committee on Tuesday night advanced the bill that would allow Gulfstream Park to decouple its live racing license from its casino license. This is a big deal as far as the future of racing around the country, really. This could set the tone for that. But they did amend that bill to ensure that there will be at least 7 more years of racing at Gulfstream Park. So they hit a happy medium with that. We'll wait and see about that. On today's show, we have handicappers Jonathan Hardoon, Rich Eng. It's Wednesday, which means it's our day to have Mr. Colucci aboard. Dwayne Colucci will be along with us from the Rampart. John Linda will be checking in, as well as Jerry Jackowitz. And we'll have all of that, plus all the latest breaking news as it comes in. I just want to remind everybody out there again, we won't have a Wednesday show next Wednesday, but we'll be back on Thursday. And don't forget, coming up this Saturday, along with all those Derby and Oaks prep races around the country, we're going to start early in the morning as far as race players are concerned, because it is Dubai World Cup Day on Saturday morning. Saturday morning, the Dubai World Cup and the big races there at Maidan Racecourse. The actual Dubai World Cup itself, they are backing up the post time for the Dubai World Cup itself. Now, there are 11 that are entered in the Dubai World Cup. And the big one there is Forever Young, of course, the big winner of the Saudi Cup. Forever Young, the Japanese horse, who finished close, just a nose behind in second place when he was a three-year-old last year in the Kentucky Derby. He's going to probably be the favorite for that Dubai World Cup, and 11 are entered in that race. Post-time change for the Dubai World Cup here in Las Vegas in the Pacific time zone. It will be run post-time at 10:30 a.m. 10:30 a.m. will be the Dubai World Cup. They're having extreme heat in that part of the country, and because of that extreme heat, they're backing up post-time a little for the Dubai World Cup, because that will be under lights there in Dubai. All right. That's the latest, and now it's time to go to our first break. And when we come back, we'll get you your racing menu and start off with our handicappers. Don't forget, if you're on YouTube, to subscribe so you can chat away on the chat box. We'll be right back.
We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday. Just taking a look quickly at the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard, because we don't want to leave the ladies out, that's for sure. In the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard going into this weekend's races with 100 points, Quiet Size is in with 168 points. Good Cheer is second with 145. 5G is third with 125. Simply Joking 70. Bless the Broken has 67.5. 67 and a half points there. She's in fifth place. Drexel Hill is 57. La Cara is 51 and three-quarter points there, 51.75 points there. Anna's Promise is at 50, along with Fondly, Ahava. They're all at 50 there, so those top 10 will definitely get in the Kentucky Oaks. But beyond that, when you get down to 11th on down, now you're looking at 45 points, etc. And there's some 100-pointers out there, three of them left for the Kentucky Oaks, so we'll wait and see about that. Now, as far as the weather today, it looks pretty good. It's the weather across the country is going to be pretty good for most of the racing because we only have a short menu of racetracks available. Temperatures, 82 degrees in Miami. You got 48 in New York. Chicago is going to be 70 degrees today with a little bit of rain going on there. Detroit is 53 with rain, so you can see that front is moving through that area. Phoenix, Arizona, 66. So you see there's a cold front coming on behind that front that's moving through. As a matter of fact, here in Las Vegas, it's 43 degrees right now outside. We're only going to get up to 61 today here in Las Vegas. As we say, it's always fast, firm, and perfect in the race book. And in Los Angeles, it's 67. It's going to be 67 degrees. Okay, time to get to your racing menu, which is short and sweet today. We have exactly four tracks on the racing menu today. We begin with Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Mahoning Valley Racecourse has their first post time set at 9:15. They have a pick six jackpot carryover of $4,845. First post time, Mahoning Valley, is at 9:15. Then comes Parks Racing. Parks Racing has a first post time of 9:40. They canceled the eighth race yesterday, the last race yesterday at Parks Racing, because a horse threw its rider, got loose, and started running the wrong way on the racetrack. And when the jockeys headed at the top of the stretch, coming down the stretch with another loose horse coming to them, they notified the jockeys. They all separated. They pulled up their horses. And as a result of that, the wrong way horse through the stretch forced the cancellation of the eighth race yesterday at Parks. It was really a hairy situation for a couple of seconds there while they did a good job in averting what could have been a catastrophe. First post time today, however, is Parks Racing is at 9:40. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $293,347. That's their carryover in the pick five jackpot. The first pick five jackpot, $293,347. Again, first post time is at 9:40. Tampa Bay Downs is also starting at 9:40. First post at Tampa Bay is also at 9:40. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $11,277. And then we wrap up the four tracks on the menu today with Turf Paradise. Turf Paradise has a first post time at 12:55. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $50,719. And that's the short but sweet racing menu today for the races today on race day. Remember, first post times are Pacific. If you're not in the Pacific time zone, adjust to it so you don't miss anything like I miss mom and dad. Okay, so first post times are Pacific on the menu. Let's get out to Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Did I hear you correctly? The future pools close at 1 o'clock before the races are even run?
1 o'clock Pacific time, which would be 4 o'clock Eastern time. But I think the post times for those races
are much later.
Yeah, later, yeah. You're gonna have to have a little bit of...
That doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that? I mean, don't you want people to see with the horses they are considering playing?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, maybe, you know, that's like saying, can I bet a horse race after they hit the finish line? You know, this is a future book. That's what it's all about. You're going to have to.
Yeah, but it's not for the Gotham. The future's for the Derby.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
What can I say? I'm just the messenger.
Listen, after what happened Sunday at Aqueduct and then Gulfstream, you didn't even touch on that. Aqueduct was forced to cancel racing because the music was too loud at the casino where they were having a car show.
Yes. It had nothing to do with the weather at Aqueduct. It had something to do with the folks who run the casino there thinking that the racing at Aqueduct is just an afterthought. And so it canceled because the loud band was too loud in the casino, affecting the horses that were in the paddock. So they canceled the whole card, but nothing to do with weather. However, Gulfstream Park, when you're talking about Sunday, Gulfstream Park canceled after the fifth race because of bad weather. And if you saw some of the pictures coming out of Gulfstream Park after they canceled, it looked like there was going to be a hurricane going through there. The rain was coming down so hard that it just wiped out the entire racetrack, looked like a lake. And so they canceled that. But good news for us is your pick on the Sunday show was the fifth race. And that horse, Nate the Great, was great and won. And so we got the winner before they canceled the races at Gulfstream yesterday. On Sunday, that horse paid $7.20 for Marty Drexler, who won the race. So we got that winner out of Gulfstream. And as far
by the way, what happens to the mandatory pick six that was going to start the race that they canceled racing? So did they move it to Saturday, to Sunday? Did they make an announcement?
I did some research on the Gulfstream Park website, and it makes no mention of what's going to happen yet with that. But they better do something, because if they think the backlash and protesting for Tesla is going on in the nation, they haven't seen anything yet. That'll look like child's play once the gamblers start, doing their protest against not getting a chance at that carryover. So we'll wait and see. I'm sure they're going to make arrangements for that. And as you
but
know,
it should have been announced already. And by the way, back to Aqueduct. Listen, they had no choice. They had to cancel. The problem that Aqueduct had was they left everybody standing around for 35 minutes before they let anyone know what was happening. All they showed was a picture of the paddock and the horses circling. No riders, nobody.
Well, let me ask you a question.
They tell you we're canceling.
Let me ask you a question, Jonathan. When you were watching the signal, did you at least hear the band?
No, you couldn't even hear the music.
So you couldn't hear what the problem was. I see.
No one had any idea. And it's really not fair. I have a friend that drove down 2 hours from Connecticut to go watch his horse run. And he got there and everyone was pulling out of the parking lot while he was trying to pull into the parking lot. Not a good scene.
Oh, well, so it be. There's an unlimited amount of ways to win a race and lose a race. And I'm guessing there's starting to be an unlimited amount of ways that you can cancel a racing card these days. But in any case, and I got to tell you, Oaklawn Park continues with those big payoffs, and their early pick five on Sunday paid $5,942. By the way, the Hot Spring Stakes, the one that Gaming was in, that Bob Baffert sent out Gaming along with the Cornucopian over the weekend, Gaming finished second in the race to Clever Again. Clever Again won it for Steve Asmussen, who had three wins on the day. That was his first win. Jose Ortiz aboard for his second win on that day. That horse paid $440, so he was the favorite over Gaming. Perfect Force finished third. And as far as the overnight stakes race, Miss Martini won that with the son, Asmussen. Kevin Asmussen wins that for his father, paying $580. And then the Asmussens came back to win the late double. They won the 10th race for Steve's third win and Eric's second win, paying $18.80. And as far as Santa Anita was concerned, I want to thank Rich Eng. He gave us the winner of the sixth race. King Stefan, who reported home for John Sheriffs at $5.20. Hector Barrios is second of his wins on the day, and it was a turf race. I got to ask John Lindo if he can get Hector Barrios's total wins on the meet and how many of them were on the turf. It seems every time this guy just has that turf course in his back pocket.
He seems to beat me every time, Ralph. I say, here comes a horse. Oh no, Barrios. It used to be Pratt. Now it's Barrios.
Yes, exactly. The Sensational Star, by the way, that stakes race on Sunday, won by Lonesome Stew, who came from last to first under Antonio Freisou, for Mark Glatt, paying $11.80. And Freisou came back for his second win of the day for Phil D'Amato in the 10th race. And talking about turf preferences, Phil D'Amato won that race on the turf, paid $9 even. So they got a pick six carryover, though, from Sunday at Santa Anita. They didn't have a six. The fives paid $7,201. So that was pretty good there. So Santa Anita will have a carryover come Friday at their races. So that's what happened on Sunday.
By the way, they had finally a nice payoff in their early pick five. I think it was like 47,000.
The early pick five was.
You could take all the pick fives for the entire meet, and they wouldn't add up to 47,000. And they gave it to you in one race.
You're probably right. It started out with a $57.60 winner. Then you had $9.40, $8.80, and $10.20. That, those were predictable.
Yeah.
But then we got a $39 horse to end the pick five. So the pick five, the early pick five at Santa Anita, I think was the highest payoff of the day there. $42,750.55. Yeah, you're right. You could probably add all up the other ones and wouldn't come up to that. But an interesting day Sunday at Santa Anita. Looking ahead, we have three races left that hold two of them with 100 points, another one with 75 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard that comes up on Saturday, weather permitting. We know that it's really iffy down there at Keeneland. Did you see that post that Keeneland made about maybe this weekend?
Yeah, well, what they should have really done, and it's probably too late now, is they knew the weather was coming. So why not just postpone the weekend and run the races Monday and Tuesday of next week like they did at Santa Anita? They even did it at Oaklawn one weekend. You know, not the worst idea in the world.
Well, we will certainly wait and see about that. But in any case, it doesn't look good as far as that weather condition, because that really looks bad. That part of the country, you know, in the Midwest, et cetera, really getting nasty weather. I mean, hurricanes, et cetera, and tornadoes as well. So we'll wait and see about that. And, of course, on Friday, they're supposed to open with the race that holds 100 points for the Kentucky Oaks. That's the Ashland. So we'll wait and see about that. But, you know, good fields for most of the races except Santa Anita. Only five horses in the Santa Anita Derby.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get much out of that race, let's be honest, Ralph. But especially as you get closer to the Derby, you want your horses to be battle-tested. You want them to run in big fields, face some controversy. When you have these five-horse fields and they go around Indian file, what do you really get out of the race? You get points. I get it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when it comes to getting into a 20-horse field, your horse is going to be like, what? What happened here? You know, used to these five-horse easy races and now they're in a full field of 20. Well, they're going to get some shock there.
Yeah, they're going to sit there and say, you mean I already beat five horses? Do I have to beat another 10? In any case, it'll be interesting to see. And those fields are now set. Before I get your pick for the day, the Florida decoupling thing, at least they got something out of it. They got 7 years guaranteed at Gulfstream.
Yeah, they got a couple. Originally, it was five, so they moved it to seven. So in a way, that's good. But in a way, it's bad also because people get lackadaisical and they think, oh, well, we got 7 years. Let's not worry about this for another 3 or 4 years. So, but what they should try to do is resolve it as soon as possible.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. But, you know, it's the government. So don't look for it to happen too soon. In any case, we have just a short. You only had one track, right? You only did one track today?
What could I do? That's all they have that's running. Gulfstream, you know, their championship meet ended, so they'll only be running, I guess, Thursday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is.
Well, you know, there's racing at Tampa Bay, and we know you give a play out there. So what are we doing today?
Let's look at the third race today, 6 furlongs on the main track. And I like the number 7 horse in here, Magical Warrior. This is a 6-year-old gelding who was claimed 2 starts back. Both races for Jose Delgado, good enough to get the job done here. I like where he's drawn. He's drawn outside. There's other speed inside, but he's going to get first run. Samuel Marin aboard to ride 4-1 on the morning line. Number 7, Magical Warrior, wins today's third race out of Tampa Bay Downs.
All right, third race at Tampa Bay. Numero 7, Magical Warrior, right off of that nice winner you gave us before they canceled the races at Gulfstream on Sunday. Nevertheless, we got it done there. Hopefully, we'll get it done today. And by the way, if you want that one and only sheet that Jonathan has right now, you can go to his website and get it. All right, Jonathan, we start cranking it up for the weekend tomorrow. We'll take a look at some of those races at first blush for leading up to the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks. And don't forget, folks out there, it's never too early to plan. We're going to have the Kentucky Derby seminar here the Friday, right after the Kentucky Oaks racing card is completed. Churchill Downs on that Friday before the Kentucky Derby. We'll have the Kentucky Derby seminar here at the South Point like we normally do with Jonathan and John Lendo. So make your plans to come on out and join us for the party on Kentucky Derby Day too as well, where they'll have free admission. How about that? All right, you got it, Jonathan. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ralphie. Stay safe and be well.
All right. And, of course, you know, we have March Madness going on. And, of course, we're down to the final four now. And it's going to be really interesting to see the final four to get to the final game on a week coming up Monday, actually. The final four will be Saturday, and the final game will be Monday. We'll take a look with Rich Eng right after this. Take a first blush look at that as well. Don't go away.
My name is Rick Dempsey. I played 27 years in professional baseball, 24 years as a major league player. You know, you always worry about, I'm spending too much on the kids or something like that. But Tunnel to Towers takes care of everybody. It's a fantastic charity, but it's actually more than that. You know, it changes people's lives and gives them an opportunity to move on and to grow up without a lot of devastation in their life. The foundation is committed to delivering mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST. Never forget.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, before we get to Rich Eng, there was something really funny that happened on X yesterday on the X website. There was a posting there. Now, remember, yesterday was April 1st. It was April Fool's Day. So somebody posted a post on X that said Bob Baffert was retiring, and he was sending all of his horses to other trainers, and they list the trainers. And when you saw it, you know, you sat there. It was like almost going to be a shocker until you figured out it was just a prank, an April Fool's joke on there. But that was pretty funny. All right, let's get out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, Richie, March Madness is down from the opening round to the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight. And as we tally up what's happened so far leading up to these last three games, for the championship, for the NCAA basketball championship, favorites have won 12 games over the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, and they were winning 36 out of 48 in the first two rounds. So the favorites were winning a lot. And this is the first time the all number one seeds will be in the final four for the first time since 2008, and only the second time since they increased the field to 64 games, the expansion in 1985. So for all the people that were looking for upsets in March Madness, it just didn't happen this year. But the three number one seeds will be facing off on Saturday. And then, of course, the two survivors of that go for the championship on Monday. And as far as the totals are concerned, the under totals were 35. 24-1 overall. So it's been kind of like a really predictable March Madness this year.
Yeah, I really miss Cinderella. A lot of my picks were hoping for Cinderella, but Cinderella never showed up, Ralph. Four number one seeds get to the final four. But, in the power ratings, many expert handicappers had these four as the top-ranked power teams in the nation, and it went to hoil. You got four for four number one seeds.
It's going to be interesting, though. That's Saturday's two games are going to be real interesting, and the final will be, because you know, everybody, when you get a Cinderella team like at 12 or so that makes it to the finals, everybody kind of leans towards, okay, the cream is going to rise to the top and the higher seed team will win. But here you've got the four number one. So it's going to be really interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, should be really good basketball. And I must admit, the only team I got left to root for in the future book is Houston, the Houston Cougars. And they got a tough nut against Duke.
Well, Richie, we want to get you right to a pick today because they have Dwayne Carlucci standing by from the Rampart, and I know you'll be taking a look at that. And I want to remind everybody out there that Richie, of course, does his Santa Anita, the Southern California selection sheet every day at the RaceDayLasVegas.com website. But you will be doing the entire Keeneland meet when it opens on Friday, hopefully, weather permitting.
Yeah, I've been doing Keeneland and Kentucky Downs since 2017. So two sheets for the price of one. As far as a pick, I know you got to squeeze guys in. Yeah. Race one at Tampa Bay Downs. Let's go for the top closer, number five, Cox Canyon. One last time, really showed a tremendous stretch run. And I'll switch it from the Bug Boy to the leading rider, Sammy Camacho. Number five, Cox Canyon.
All right, the five horse Cox Canyon in the first race at Tampa Bay. We have to remind everybody, too, that Tampa Bay goes at 9:40 this morning here in Las Vegas. You got that first race going to kick us off in the right way. Number five, Cox Canyon, 2-1 on the morning line. Thanks a lot, Richie, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All right. I do want to remind everybody again about that seminar that we have, the Kentucky Derby Seminar. We'll be here, as it has been for many, many years, here at the South Point, with John Lindo and Jerry, and John Lindo and Jonathan Hardoon. And that'll be on the Friday of the Kentucky Oaks Day. So make it a whole plan to be here all day, and then we'll do the seminar right after the final races are ending at Santa Anita. And, of course, that'll be at 6 o'clock. And then, of course, we're going to have a special. We're going to have a Kentucky Derby special show, too, here on the YouTube South Point Studio Streaming Network. During that week as well. We're just kind of working it out right now. It should be either Wednesday or Thursday. But keep that in mind. Be with us all Kentucky Derby week. Let's go out to Dwayne Carlucci standing by. Dwayne, good morning.
How you doing, Ralph?
Well, it's all about the Derby now, isn't it, buddy?
Yeah, it definitely is. We still got the Final Four, though, but definitely the Kentucky Derby is right around the corner. Can't wait.
I know that you have a lot of customers out there have been there over the last two weekends looking for that Cinderella team that kind of really never materialized.
No, it never did. And you have all the favorites and all the top teams basically represented. I mean, I was touting Auburn from the first week, Ralph. You know, I don't want to break my arm, pat my shoulder. Mm-hmm. But definitely I felt Auburn was the strongest team. Florida looks really good. Duke is exceptional. And Houston plays great defense. So I couldn't be more pleased.
Boy, that Duke's got to be the best college basketball player around right now, and he certainly makes a difference in a game, don't he?
Yeah, definitely, and he was banged up coming into the tournament, Ralph. That's what's so exceptional about his talent level. Mm-hmm. Flag just brings it each and every time, and they're very tough on the interior. Mm-hmm. You know, Houston's going to have all these teams are going to have their hands full, basically, whether it's Florida, Auburn, or Houston. It's definitely going to be, you know, tough because I think that Duke will advance to the next round, even beating Houston. So, you know, all three teams have their work cut out for them.
Well, like I said, no Cinderellas, but it's really fascinating, and it's really nice to see all four number ones there because this is going to be a real, real showdown, that's for sure. But turning now to the horse racing, we have three races left for the Kentucky Derby Future Book. Two of them will hold 100 points. Santa Anita Derby will only have 75. But it looks like the last of the major players will be in action this weekend setting up for the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, definitely. We have all the top names running. The Wood Memorial is totally stacked. You know, we have the return of Captain Cook, Richard Dutrow. You know how much I think about him. Your horse, Rodriguez, you liked him the last time, I believe. You know, he's definitely a talented horse. And right back to journalism. I mean, he is the front runner right now.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. And, you know, the volume is in the Wood Memorial and maybe the quantity, I guess, is in the Wood Memorial. The quality might be in the Santa Anita Derby. But I got to tell you, that bluegrass is coming up pretty solid, too.
Yeah, McPatrick is there, Mr. Chanton McPatrick. He's making a return after a decent race, you know, at Tampa Bay. We'll see if he can improve. Chad Brown is really up against it, it seems, thus far on the Derby trail. And also we have, you know, a talented Todd Pletcher horse in there that John Velasquez has taken him out. We have so many different horses that have, you know, potential to make this a great Kentucky Derby. We saw over the weekend, you know, just a great run from Tappan Street. Sovereignty was right there. I mean, he was without his jockey. We spoke about that. But, you know, Matt Franco did a great job. He was still able to make up some ground there. I still think he has a ton of potential. Sandman finally got the job done. You know, we'll see if these horses like Chanter McPatrick or River Thames could get into this picture. Barnes is definitely there. Like we said, that Santa Anita race is stacked, even though there's only five horses, Ralph. It's going to be exciting.
Well, and before we get to your thoughts and a pick for today, real quick, I have to ask you about that the way the Arkansas Derby laid out and that suicidal pace with Cornucopian.
Yeah, that was tough, Ralph. I tell you the truth. You know, you don't know how much to buy into that race because the pace was so grueling and it was, you know, it set up perfectly for Sandman. He really ran his heart out. We don't know how many of those horses other than Sandman will come back for the Kentucky Derby because it was such a grueling testing race. But, you know, total credit. Sandman looked great. He did his, finally got his race after a second and third. We'll see if he could transpire it into a win on the first Saturday in May, but I kind of think the Florida Derby was a little stronger, in my opinion.
Now, Duane, I know that you do a segment also on Sports by the Book a little bit later on in the week, and by that time you'll have a real good, a better picture about who you like in any one of these three Derby prep races on their show. But just taking a look at it right now, your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm a big Dutrow guy. You know that. I like Captain Cook in this race. I think he, you know, Rick skipped the race so he could get the horse to run at a mile and an eighth again. And I think he definitely likes the distance. You know, Rodriguez is totally accomplished. He took the blinkers off in the last work, and now he seemed to excel and get full of himself. So let's keep an eye on him. He could definitely improve. All the talent is right there. It's just a matter of putting it together with Money Mike. But also as a long shot, I'm going to look at Omaha to pick up a little, some of the pieces. He seems to like the Aqueduct course and gets to his running really late. I think he'll like the distance, but I think Dutrow is definitely going to be the top player in this race. You know, Matt Franco aboard, he's done very little wrong over this race course, and we're going to see if he could definitely get even more points to get into the Kentucky Derby. I like Captain Cook in the wood. You know, I'm going to stick with the favorite at Santa Anita. I just like the way he's performing up to the Derby trail. Mm-hmm. Even though Barnes is going to be right there, McCarthy has all the screws tightened, and I think he's going to win that race. Chanter McPatrick, kind of, but River Thames, I think, could beat that horse. Chanter McPatrick hasn't done really his best running as of yet. I think he'll mature as he gets older.
All right, we'll take a quick pick from you, and we'll move on.
Yeah, definitely. I like Old Town Road, Sam Camacho in the third race today at Tampa. Not a big price, but, you know, he was claimed two back. He's going back now to returning to a lower level. He stepped up last time. He broke terrible. He was eighth, coming off of three victories. Now I think he'll put that closing kick together. There's a lot of speed on the rail there, Ralph. So look for this horse to be picking up the pieces late. You know Camacho knows that Tampa Bay course. He's a master over there. And definitely this horse will be picking up the pieces late.
All right. Third race at Tampa Bay. You like number six, Old Town Road, the sixth there. And with you and Jonathan landing on the same race, we got a Scirocco play on a very slim day of racing around the country. Our Scirocco play is going to be the exacta box of 6776 in that third race. Your vote is for number six, Old Town Road. Thanks a lot, my man. And, you know, we got to tell everybody to get out there to the Rampart if they're ever part in that part of the country here in Nevada.
Yeah, definitely, Ralph. We're at Summerlin, and I can't thank my patrons enough. I mean, it was a super off-the-hook handle for the month of March. It was exceptional. Mm-hmm. We love horse racing. We're seeing more and more faces. We do it up at the Rampart. You know that, Ralph.
Yep, do it at the Rampart if you're up there in Summerlin area, that's for sure. Thanks a lot, Duane, and we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, thanks, Ralph. You're the best. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, my man. Well, you know, you are the best. That's for sure. Our handicappers on this show are the ones that make this show. I'm just the air traffic controller here, but I want to thank Dwayne a lot for that. We have John Lendo standing by from Southern California. Looks like that Southern California Racing might be the place with the best weather over the weekend for the Derby preps, but it certainly didn't get a lot of horses to participate in the Santa Anita Derby. John, good morning. Well, I'm doing fine, my man. A little bit light on the competition for the Santa Anita Derby this year.
And that's important, Ralph. With five horses in the field, they reduced the number of Derby qualifying points. The points will now be 25% less. So a horse like Baeza, who wants to go to the Derby, if he runs second, he gets 37.5 points. And I don't know if that's going to do the trick. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, well, I think that 70, if you win it, I think the 75 might be enough. That could
well,
that, be.
That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That might be enough, but he's got to win it and beat Citizen Bull to do that. I was chuckling yesterday on April Fool's Day when I saw that post on X that Baffert was retiring and saying all his Kentucky Derby horses to other trainers.
Well, you always got to be careful on April 1st. Somebody's going to fire something out there. You know that.
Final drills for the Santa Anita Derby looked good, huh?
Yeah, you know, journalism is just in maintenance mode right now, so he went nice and smooth. The Citizen Bull showed his speed. He went 59 and change, and Barnes did his thing as well, and he's ready to go. And, you know, just thinking out loud, Ralph, we know that Barnes has to have the points. He has to run at least second. Citizen Bull is in. Journalism is in. Do you think it's possible that maybe Bob Baffert puts Barnes on the lead this time and maybe gets a little seasoning into Citizen Bull, maybe takes him back in behind horses because he's had so many easy trips coming into this race?
Right.
Do you think maybe they experiment a little bit in this race?
I would think that that would be if they're he's looking to get the his horses ready for the Derby in any way he can and with education the focal point. I would think, yeah, that would be the way I'd plan it.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how this race plays out. On paper, it looks like Citizen Bull's a controlling speed, but if that happens, then all of a sudden Barnes may be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, well, if Barnes goes the lead and Citizen Bull doesn't push him, you may very well hold off journalism, but I like journalism in the race. So we'll talk more about that later. And John, I will let you go, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, let's keep our fingers crossed for that weather at Keeneland this weekend.
Yeah, man, no kidding. I want to remind everybody that John Lindo will be covering Keeneland as well with the Lindo Report. And we're going to go now to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. And Jerry Jackowitz, you got a couple of minutes to tell us about whatever's on your mind.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah.
I'm in, eh?
Yeah, you're in. Jerry, I want to ask you real quick, and I know we are pushing for time on this, and maybe next Wednesday after all of the hullabaloo for the Derby and Dubai World Cup stuff is behind us. I want to ask you, as well as the other handicappers that do your handicapping by the numbers, if the if Lasix went on and off a horse is in the equation of your handicapping and your numbers.
Well, it's been in my equation for 40 years. But the effects of Lasix today seem to be much less than they were years ago. Uh-huh. At one time, New Bolton did a study that said Lasix improved the horse at least one length per 1 mile distance. And we had that as a kind of a, but it doesn't seem to be the case anymore. It seems that it has less of an effect. So they found other ways to curb bleeding and lower blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
The effects of Lasix, for those who are not aware, are it keeps the horse's capillaries in their lungs from bleeding and causing them to have difficulty gaining oxygen when they're running. So if the blood pressure is lower, the way I understand it is, there's less blood in the lungs and they run better.
Yeah, it's a diuretic, that's for sure. And like I said, I just wanted to touch upon it real quick as we get ready to sign off on the show. But I think that we'll talk about that a little bit more with all of the other handicappers, too, because now there are certain races that you have Lasix in it and Lasix off, and maybe back and forth affects some of the handicapping, certainly. And we will leave that question up for grabs in the next Wednesday Race Day show. In the meantime, Jerry's going to tell you the one final thing that he always tells you.
Great race day, everybody.